This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome again on the Thursday afternoon to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And we are not the same.
No, we're not. No, we are opposites.
We are
They say opposites attract.
Polar opposites. If she says it's up, I'm absolutely saying it's down.
Absolutely.
If she says it's white, I'm saying it's black.
There you go.
It's just how this works. And
so but we, guess
we make
what,
it
though?
We make it work.
Even though we have arguments before the show,
all
we get through the show, and it's fun, and we are able to carry on conversations with
yes.
each other because we
yes.
know what we're going to think.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We make it through. But you know, on that,
uh-huh.
that's how everything we do.
Uh-huh.
Everything we do, whether it's individually,
mm-hmm.
groups, is a part of some parts of our story that we reflect in either our utterances
mm-hmm.
and our behaviors
right.
and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can be personal with mine.
Mm-hmm.
I chose a Quran construction
mm-hmm.
because I was exposed to it, and it was almost primarily the only thing I was exposed to. My mm-hmm. father was a builder. My uncle was a mason. My other uncle is a carpenter. My uncle is a tiler. My whole family structure, my core family, is in construction. It doesn't matter how well I got good grades in biology. I was just immersed so much in the built environment, it would be mm-hmm. silly for me not to. Now, I did choose a slightly different path by
mm-hmm.
doing architecture first.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only a help to get me into the main passion, which is the family's strength, which is construction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my experience.
So my experience is, if you ever read my
bio,
yeah. The first thing I say is that I'm a contractor, and I believe my dad wanted a boy. I'm an only child.
You said that
that's
before.
What I say.
Yeah.
Now, then after that, when I went to school, because I was, like I said, I'm dexterous, I'm not academic, I was fortunate enough to have carpentry and agriculture as electives that I could take. Mm-hmm. So I took both of those. So I learned carpentry. Then as I got a little bit older, and I moved out of the house when I was 15, mm-hmm. and when I went to college, I took fashion design. So I learned drafting.
Yeah,
okay? I learned drafting, and I'm very good at drafting.
I taught drafting.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Self-taught, then taught drafting.
And then when I came here, I started renovating a house, and a person saw it, and it was the house I was living in, mm-hmm. and the person saw it and said, could you do some work for me? And I said, sure. So mm-hmm. she had some apartments, and I went and did some work for her, masonry and tiling and a bunch of mm-hmm. different stuff. And then one of her contractors walked off on her, and she said, would you be able to finish this house for me? Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. 43 years later, well, here I am.
That's the interesting thing about that. Mm-hmm. That's your path is organic to who you are. Mm-hmm. And what I always laughed is that when you talk about you was renovating, you were doing some work and doing a lot of tiling, and you had to stop because your back and knees were hurting because you were doing the tiling.
Yeah.
I've never tiled in my life.
Oh, see, and I prefer to do the tiling because I know it'll be done the way I want it.
Well, exactly. See, that's the approach.
Yeah.
Me, mm-hmm. I don't do the tiling because I'm the oldest of five boys. Mm-hmm. My entire life, mm-hmm. I tell people what to do. Because mm-hmm. I was born first. Mm-hmm. If you're born second, third, fourth, and fifth, you mm-hmm. certainly can't talk before me because I'm first. I'm the oldest. So management mm-hmm. is how I do everything. I am good at telling people what to do. Mm-hmm. I know what I want, and I tell you, do it like this. I will sketch it up. I'll draw it. But what I'm not going to do, I'm not going to do that mm-hmm. because my approach is different. Because I know my skill set is not in the doing. Not that I don't know how to do. That's not what I'm the best at.
Well, and I've always...
Only do things I'm the best at.
And I've always been artsy fartsy. So I've always been very good with my hands. I used to do sketching. I used to do paintings. I used to do all of that kind of stuff.
Same.
As you saw by my What's Up thing, I also play guitar and sing. So I do all kinds of different things. That's kind of me.
Yes.
Right? So I just do things a little different than you because I'm more, I used to get on a plane and with my bare feet, my blue jeans, and my guitar. Because my dad was in the Air Force, and I would get on a plane in Trenton that would go to Ottawa, and it would go to Newfoundland, Greenland, England, and Germany. I'd get off in Germany, see my friends, and then I'd go back with my guitar, barefoot, and everything else.
You're that doing was, a little hippie thing.
But that's
in Canada.
But I had the ability to do that because it was free. We had the opportunity because planes had to go to those routes anyway to take mail and all that kind of stuff. So there was always empty seats. And all you had to do was write a letter saying I want a seat. And you'd get the seat and you'd pay $5 and that would be it.
Wow.
So, wow. I was
again,
a kid. And I, like I said, I left home at 15.
That's your experience. And that shapes how you approach problem solving.
Because I've had to do it all myself. I was also an only child. My parents were super young. They basically dragged me everywhere with them, which was okay, but I was just the kid in the back seat.
Wow.
You see what I'm
totally
saying?
Different.
Totally different life.
Totally different.
Totally different life.
And yes, not to take up too much time for my exciting show. So after the whole being immersed in it, mm-hmm. you went to the architecture route and then went to university mm-hmm. for construction engineering. Mm-hmm. I'm more of an, and I always tell people, mm-hmm. I'm more of an academic in the space.
Yeah.
With a lot of practical experience.
Yeah.
I just don't think that if you're a doctor mm-hmm. and I'm a medical student, mm-hmm. I want a doctor to perform the surgery on me. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. I probably can do it. It's not going to be better than the guy who does that every I would say this short story. I'm on a site and I watch. It's a meandering zigzag path, very dimensional, mm-hmm. has to be right.
Right.
I watched two construction teams mm-hmm. did that path, mm-hmm. and I did jackhammer it up. And then the contractor, who's a general contractor on the site, I guess he was approaching, they said, okay, can you just sort this out? So mm-hmm. two guys in their late 60s mm-hmm. did it one time, in half the time, perfect.
You remember Toby Austin's dad?
Yeah.
Reggie.
Mm-hmm. Just two guys in their 60s mm-hmm. did it one time mm-hmm. in half the time. Perfect.
Because they were taught how to do it. They probably worked under somebody else when they were younger.
And that too. But I believe that people are good at doing one or two things exceptionally well.
Yeah.
In my phone, if I pull up my phone, I have, and I agree, A1 tile specialist.
Mm-hmm.
A.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe B. And I only stop at B. Okay?
Yeah.
But when I call A1, I have to tell them, this is the size space.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Boston tile that's laying this way. I needed to run that way. And when I go there, I inspect what I expect, and it's perfect over time because I know who I'm calling. I know the skills that I'm going to get.
So when we first started building our house and we finally were able to have some money to put some tiles down, they were put down, but the person, I was at work, so I wasn't there while they were doing it. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got back, so the hallway is a straight hallway that runs straight through to the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
When I got home, the tiles were like a foot off by the other end.
Yeah. Well,
and my husband said, they're not coming up. You're going to have to live with it. So I lived with it until he went away one time. And then I ripped it all up. And I laid the tiles myself. The coral. I laid it myself because I wanted it. I wanted to have like a border or like a rug around, and then I wanted the tiles on the inside to be on a 45. Or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what I did. It took you some time, but you got it done.
I got it done. It was beautiful.
I know. I'm quite sure the result. I'm just not going to do that.
So, but we're different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the point I'm making is that there are sometimes several different ways to approach a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, just like you don't believe, that any one way is the way. And I tell persons who I
neither
manage.
Neither of us are right, neither of us are wrong.
No.
We just do it different.
Well, that's an interesting approach.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I tell. I have a junior superintendent to me, and I was a senior project manager. He's early 20s. And he's going at something, and I'm watching. Let me let him fail with four times first, and then I'm tell you. So this is what I would do, given the fact that I've done this 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
It always works, and you've tried four times already, and you're not at the point that there's no way for this to work. And I'm saying, this is my year of experience now. Like, it can work. You haven't just figured out how to make it work yet.
Yeah.
Take my advice. Do it this way. Trust me on this. I've done 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why you didn't tell me to do that from the first beginning? Because you have to discover. You have to discover the same way experience works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Try it. It didn't work this way. Try it another way. See if it works. And maybe you would have come on the third time with the right way to do it.
You
don't take away that
experience. You read my status today, right?
I did not. What you said.
Really? It says basically, you know, you can't choose to fail. You just have to keep trying over and what's his name? Newton.
Isaac Newton?
Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
It's his saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
He
just try it one more time. That's it.
That's
keep
it.
Trying.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an interesting call today, before I get into some of these other things, to one of my good friends who's the director of the Department of Housing.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the director, Dr. Clark, I'm going to talk about the Department of Housing today.
Mm-hmm.
Just short, because I think the public does not appreciate the dilemma that they are in. We are in, as the public,
right,
and the country is in. There's been much talk about the shortage of housing. You see the headline, government to destroy more shanty towns, and part of that is to provide more land for housing.
Mm-hmm.
But what the dilemma I'm speaking about is, Debbie, let me ask you a question. Do you know the price per square foot what they're building the homes? You want to guess?
Well, I would like to think that they're spending, I don't know.
Well, let's take it the other way.
$150 a square foot. No, more than that. I would say they'd build a house for I don't know. I just know that for me it's $180 a square
good.
Foot. Okay. For me it's $180.
85 to 200. I'm just going to be honest because I got to come out there with something.
Yeah.
The 2-bed, 1-bath at about 800 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
They're building that at $115 per square foot.
How?
That was my question.
They're buying the same blocks, steel, sand, rock, cement.
So
the plywood.
The, what is Debbie?
Shingles.
Now, then the two,
windows,
the
doors.
Two bed, two bath.
Uh huh.
Two bed, two bath.
How big is that?
This is just over 1,000, maybe the 1050, 1100 square foot.
Okay, so 20% more.
Yeah, at 170. And then the three bed, two bath. They were at 180 and started, had some challenges. They're up to 200,000. That's including the land. That's the gross price.
Excuse me?
When we pulled out the land improvements infrastructure, the two bed, one bath house was being built at a whopping $92,500. I don't know
how. Well, you know what? Okay, so the only thing that I think of when I hear that is that I would never want to be one of those contractors because I'd be biting my nails. I would be bald as a cue ball. And I would be, I'd probably be drinking all the time, even though I don't like to drink.
But you'll drink way more than you should.
Oh, my goodness. So I couldn't imagine that.
This is why I wanted to talk about it. So because comparatively, we talked with Carla just a minute, the president of Bria, she would tell you, to buy a home right now, which probably about 20 to 25 years old, is costing you about $280 to $350. This is a new home built 2025, land inclusive, that they're selling all in $170, all in the three bed, two bath, $200K, all in.
Is that
two bed,
being,
one bath,
is that
159.
Being built in swamp land or something? I'm joking. No, but, I mean,
forget where the house is. We're back to this point.
Oh gosh,
we to the point of the cost. They've been able to get it down so low. Now there are several reasons why. A, I met several of the builders because again I frequent it. I check it out. I like Carmichael Village. I go in there a lot. You've noticed that the contractor is the builder.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the roof shingling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's doing the stucco with probably some assistants and what's not. But he is the primary labor. Mm-hmm. Because if Debbie and I were to go there, we'd hire the people to do it. And what we'll find at the end of the day, we don't have enough money to get a dollar out of it for ourselves.
Well, I got
to
be honest. When I first started building, the contractors that I met, because they were the carpenter or the mason on the job, they were that person, right? They were able to build way cheaper than I was ever able to build because of that. Yes.
Father, we see we're coming to you right now. So, yes, my father was the same way. And so when I came from college and I looked at his pricing, I said, I can't build at this rate because he was doing all the things. So that's the thing I want to delve into right now, what makes that product work. Caller, go ahead. You're live.
Good afternoon. Is this God?
No, this is Sans, Leonard.
Hey, Sans, this is your boy, JJ, man.
Hey, JJ, what do you say, man?
Man, you know something? I work in muddy billionaire companies, Cavalier and Cadrico. Well trained, work with American Contractor. I forget his name right now, Winkley.
Yeah, there's Winkley. He's a Lutheran, but we'll go with that.
Yeah, I've been a little while. And you're also right. See, I tell people, I'm muddy talented. They steal, like, leave my billing out, put my seal down. I do just with everything. That's how I get away.
Mm-hmm.
And I work in house, and I even go to places no more, because I call them headache jobs.
Yeah, there's a lot of headache, JJ.
I never bill out for government no more.
JJ, and here's the thing. I think persons like yourself and us, obviously, we've elevated in our business aspect where we can't do projects anymore at net profit, where there's no profit. It doesn't make sense for the business to do that.
You can't do it because everything is so expensive. Your electricity is twice as much as it ever was. You go to the grocery store, oh Lord God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Debbie,
yes.
My plumber's electrician is working to me over 20, 40 years.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And see, I don't have to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
See, people always say I build houses by myself, me and two helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Not two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lay the building, lay my blocks. Pour my bell cords to my form so that I well waste it. I know I come to school to read, plan, and do things, and people don't understand. You got a lot of people, you see, they say anybody can be a contractor, you know. But look, I'm a builder. I'm a builder.
And, there's a difference. There's a difference between a builder and a contractor. Yeah, there's an absolute difference.
I'm a builder, but I'm more like I retired now, right? Now, I take some revenue with you up. You pay some roof.
So yeah.
I never built a government house.
Not a government house.
And people see me, JJ, I say, man, give this job to young people.
Yeah. Yeah, let some new up-and-coming people take advantage and learn and cut their teeth and figure out how to do some things. Yeah.
Only because financially.
I think people value for money, you know. My people, I pay them right to the right money, you know.
Yeah.
The right money.
But you have to, for you to do it, you have to have a lot of yourself and time into the job.
Yeah. My sons and my people who I teach with. Sometimes I say, brothers, look here, I'm Friday and Saturday. I'm on Saturday and Sunday, you know. I'm doing something to do this, right? And I can pay them right, right?
Mm-hmm.
I won't get the belt for a sport to get my sales payment.
Mm-hmm.
When I finish, the car's money right there. I buy a case of beer, 2 bottle of chicken, and work right.
And then you work right, yeah.
Anybody meant to work for me, man. Inspectors never come my job. I do it right. When they first start building them, those things, God made them was the chief housing officer. I said, boss, I'm building more windows now. Oh, Jay, you're doing a good idea, but boss, I ain't making no money.
No, you ain't making no money.
You can't give work for nothing.
That's our fault, my country. See, you got to pay people what they value, man.
Yeah.
You know, right now, I got clients right now, I lie, right? I mad because I ain't get paid from one job I do right now because I get my Mercy Education tomorrow. I bet they come to lock up tomorrow.
No, don't let them lock you up,
JJ. Bill coming, what? See, every bill, I get paid all these bills.
And then, and you don't get your payout from the project you did.
I get it closed, though. I pay, right? But I get into the PS and the ministry myself tomorrow.
And tell them you need to get paid too. That's part of the issues in our industry as well. Contractors, when they do the work, need to get paid.
No. No,
you just want to do your work and get paid for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pay me my money, man. And that's all I can say.
That's it. Thanks for your call, JJ. Appreciate it. And yeah, and that's what I want persons to know. I mean, I really want to take this approach. And I told Director Clark, I said, I think you guys have found the best and most efficient small contractors on the island. I don't know if I had that same challenge, if I could bring my cost down to build that at $92,000 for a 2-bed. One bath house. And listen, impact resistant windows, tiles throughout, exterior porch, rear porch. Yeah.
No,
carport,
I know I couldn't do it.
Full paint.
And so I wouldn't even venture.
Closet. No. I'm the whole thing, Debbie.
But as
custom
long as,
cabinets, granite countertops in the home.
Yeah. Well, as long as the persons that are doing it are actually making a living.
They're builders. They're builders. And I'm telling you, go there and you're seeing them build it.
And probably they're doing multiple houses. The way you can actually do it. Because you've got your same crew there that could be doing the job. And you start with one doing the foundation, next one's doing the belt, and the other one's up to roof stage. So you're always
just
in a transition.
Yeah.
So you're not all in the same spot
but
at the same time.
But it is not easy. It is not easy. But now, one of the things I'm talking about is that it creates this big disparity between with the government now. And like the director said, that they're not making money from it. Mm-hmm. They're just providing a public service because the need is so much.
Right.
They're not making any money.
Right.
You know, that's
the
Michael Village, they've spent.
And the government is basically
tens of millions of dollars in the infrastructure.
But they're doing the mortgage
of course.
As well. So they're getting the money double ways.
In the back end,
Mm-hmm.
But they spend tens of millions of dollars just on infrastructure.
Wow.
It's paved roads,
it's
drainage, the whole thing side elevated with 6 foot. It's a lot. So all that money that's a private developer or someone else would have to come up with, the government put that in. And what I'm saying is even when you look at the net numbers, 2-bed, 2-bath house, 1,100 square foot, $170,000 all in, including the land. We see land these days for 170.
I haven't seen land under $90,000
for a long time.
Years. Well, that's why, you know, we talked last week and we've talked before about the houses that are on the auction block or somebody has died or somebody's been divorced.
And we didn't get a chance to talk about that fully about how significant an idea approach it would be if we got somehow the government and the banks to hold hands and figure out a way to remortgage those homes and put them back in the inventory given thousands of contractors
work. He did give us a suggestion as to what to do, what they do in other countries, and it works fine.
Yeah.
But you and I have to have a conversation with him before we talk more about this. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did see you send me that note, and I said, yeah, I'm open to that conversation.
Yes.
Because I believe it may be time for private sector, along with the government, to work in on a partnership to make this work.
Yeah. But the thing is, the insurance companies are losing money because of it. The banks are losing money because of it. The longer the house stays empty, the more work needs to be done.
It's a lose-lose-lose, as opposed to a win-win-win.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Not everybody has to win a lot.
No.
But, yeah.
No.
Oh, but we have another call.
We have a next call. Yes. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Debbie, and good evening, Nato.
Hey. Everything good. I got all my family calling me now.
Good evening, Nato. No, but, Leonard, you don't have to apologize for the introduction, man. Don't rush it. It was good to really hear and for the young people to know that, you know, you all was always successful, that you know that the road which you love to take to be successful, you know, and it's really good. And listening, whatever, the two of y'all sound like y'all are two well-rounded contractors / builders with a lot of experience.
I'm more round than Debbie. I'll tell you that right now. Debbie is very slim. I'm a little more round.
Yeah, well, I see you before, but I can believe that. And biasness, because it's a female and a male in the same field and everything. Uh-huh. So it was really good, man. So you don't have to apologize. I got to just listen on for another 5 minutes.
Awesome. Right. Awesome.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, man.
And watch it. And watch it now, Debbie. Now you want laying tiles? So you can take a
Yes.
Watch. Yeah, I'm laying with you.
I do a good job. And I even cut my own tiles because I like them to be perfect.
Yeah, Debbie's a perfectionist when it comes to some things.
Unfortunately,
Talking about perfectionist, I agree with you, too. And, on just getting the right people to do the job. And like how you say when y'all to get there, y'all know that right. Because everybody have the eyes to see good work.
No, that's true.
I see some contractors that look at waking and think all warp up and twist.
Exactly.
They look good and paying people. But
You
need to have those eyes. Because what is good work to you might be good work to
others. Absolutely.
Right.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And then some fellas lay in block with chain link. With chain instead of with line and then wood block and then
listen,
and then quarter inch of browning and this one, and
two inch of browning and the next one. Yeah, some people just have not.
Man. So you got to have the eye to know and see good way.
Yeah.
But I want to end with this too, which you're always touching on too with the banks. I've seen around in this country a number of homes would be possessed.
Yes.
With just rotting and down.
Yes.
And roof dropping in.
15, 20 years. Yes, 20 years. Just sitting there.
So basically.
You don't touch on that, man. Why they don't sell that? They don't really show the housing. That's housing right there.
Right.
Absolutely.
Renovate them, sell them, or try sell them cheap or something.
So what, unfortunately, what they do is the banks, I guess.
All right, thanks, Rico.
Each bank has its own way of doing things, but generally what they want is they want the money that has not been paid on the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So, and very seldom is it just a little bit.
No, it's a lot.
Because people never leave the mortgage in the beginning.
No.
It's towards the end, you know.
Yeah.
But so if there's $150,000 left
on the mortgage,
that's what they'll wait to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it's hard to get that.
And so, and Debbie,
because
you know why it's hard? Some of the homes, obviously you and I in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
We go to inspections for clients who want to buy a home or repossess homes.
Right.
And when they look at us, the bank is offering this right now at $140,000. And I'm like, I say, how much do you think it takes to make this home good for us? And what's not? Probably going to need another $140,000. Honestly, I've walked into homes like that.
Mm-hmm.
All the sheetrock ceilings down. All the electrical wiring is all rusted. All the receptacles are rusted. You have to redo all of that. The floors, because the roof was leaking. Caved, it's just terrible. I'm like, all the cabinets, I'm like, this is a total gut on the interior.
Yeah, I went to a house just off of Yamacraw Road, and oh my goodness gracious, I felt bad for the persons because they said, well, they can get it for this much money.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you walk in, and the one bathroom is like 8 inches off the
ground
because the plumber didn't know what he was doing, and they had to raise it up. And then you had to walk through two bedrooms to get to the kitchen. And then the stairs,
you couldn't leave it like that.
The stairs got partway up. And then all of a sudden it stopped. And then when it joined up again, it didn't join up level. It was just scary.
You'd never seen a house that terrible.
Oh, my God. It was the worst ever. And I just said to them.
And they were still interested in buying it.
Well, I just said I myself would not buy it. Because it was on the water. It had not been done right. All the steel was rusted. Everything was. I just said, I don't
think it's worth
you have to have a lot of money to be able to get this house the way you want it, because you're going to have to redo chopping corners and blocks and all that kind of stuff. It's going to have to all be done. The plumbing's going to all have to get ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's costly.
Oh, yeah, it is.
We got the next caller. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hey, Leonard, brother. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Awesome. Debbie Deal.
Yes, sir.
enjoying this conversation. Two quick questions here.
Yeah.
Firstly, I thought when it came down the houses, you know, especially persons who have been in their homes for anywhere from 15 plus years, mm-hmm. even if the loan is a 25-year loan, mm-hmm. and you're having a hard time completing the mortgage,
mm-hmm.
I would assume that every home then has a certain amount of equity in the home
mm-hmm.
that should be applied against. Well, you know, if you're defaulting on the home, isn't there the ability to use the equity of the home and still be able to save your home, especially if you've been in it for over 15, 20 years?
Well, that's again, there's another issue here, too. So if you own your property
mm-hmm.
and then you go to the bank and get a loan to build the house,
mm-hmm.
you renege on the house,
mm-hmm.
but you
but
still own the property.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that are, you know, that have to be thought out.
Well, hold on now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the mortgage, uh-huh. if you understand the definition, and Jeff, you have very intimate experience with how this doesn't go right.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a construction mortgage,
mm-hmm.
and you used... You own the land.
You own the property as collateral.
But you use the property as collateral.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge with in the agreement,
mm-hmm.
and Jeff, your baby sister is an attorney. She can tell
you. She needs to fix that.
the bank has, so if you default uh-huh. on the money, it's uh-huh. not on the land, on the money that you lend you,
right.
they could redeem the collateral as theirs. So they didn't take the home away from you.
Mm-hmm.
They took the land away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard, you know, you brought up a very, very interesting point. And
mm-hmm.
that point is that, you know, this is the part now where the education part of it comes into play.
Yes.
Because we need to now make, you know, create it where our people are more savvy to know some of the nuances that they may never have thought about.
Never thought about.
You know, opening their minds and having them consider, these are some of the questions that they need to be asked or be made aware of, so they could see how best they can use the information to their best interest and ability.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jeff, but let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question, because you're slightly older than I am. Jeff, do you remember a time when it was not uncommon to see a house being moved?
I remember that.
I've seen that many times.
Okay.
In my life.
Mm-hmm. Back in the early, I would say 60s, because I've seen it once in my lifetime, in the 60s mm-hmm. and 70s, mm-hmm. it was common for houses to be moved.
Yeah.
And you know why it was possible? Well, first of all, they built wooden houses and they put up on stilts.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they moved the house
mm-hmm.
is because if I built a house on Debbie's land,
mm-hmm.
I own the house. Debbie owns the land.
The land.
She goes to the court and mm-hmm. asks. The court will then direct me to remove
the
fixture, because a house is a fixture on the land.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
House is not real property. The land is
in law is
immovable.
Right.
The house is a fixture.
Right.
Yep.
So they just simply move the house. And you say, Debbie, okay, here's your land back.
Yeah.
The problem is now we start building houses that are attached to the land.
Yes.
Guess what the law says? And check, call your sister. So once you hang up, once you make an attachment to the land, guess what? The house forms part of the real property.
Yes.
And now the bank owns the house and the land. This is the education that no one taught us.
No.
We don't talk about it. No one teaches it. And only through our human experiences and watching things go right and wrong, we learn this, but we never taught this.
And this is why I said this is now, in fact, you know, believe you me, your program is more of an educational tool because it's educating people
to look
at things from a different perspective than they usually would.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm applauding. That's why I called in, because I've been watching over the period of time both of you have come here. You guys discussed many of the myriad things
Absolutely.
In the field, and you educated us. My last point here before I go. you know, you talk about this fight with the again the
license, yeah.
License and all that stuff. These persons who bring people into this country, who claim that they are contractors or whatever, I mean, what regime do they go through in order to build in the Bahamas, calling themselves contractors and bringing their crew with them into the Bahamas?
They may be licensed in their country, but they're not licensed in our country.
And it's that. See, that's another something that we need to approach, because I can assure you, we can't go to the other people's country.
No,
absolutely
not.
What they do here, because we're not licensed.
Why are we allowing that to happen here?
Because the Jeff, I will tell you exactly why it happens. I will tell you why it happened. Jeff, thank you for your call. Listen up to your response.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am. So, unfortunately, I didn't share this with you yet, and I've had conversations about this thing, and beyond senior cabinet minister, what that means is someone who would have held office of prime minister for several times. And two things I was made aware of, what seemed to be the government's concern, why they are not quite ready. One, it was told to me that construction licensing in the Bahamas in its current form does not take in account for the peculiarities of this geographical nation, which means this: Debbie in New Providence, who has access to all the availabilities of University of Bahamas, BTVI, and all the stuff, and someone on Deadman's Key or somewhere in Maguana does not have the access to that. So when you talk about qualifying, in their words, or aligning both of them, someone has an advantage over the other. Secondly, the thought process was, and it was told to me, that there needs to be, which I do not disagree with, hear me before I say it, there needs to be a minimum standard of construction first. Now, that's a big word. What is the minimum standard? How do I determine what is the minimum standard of construction? How do you test it? And this is the question they ask. So I don't know.
Why would you want to build the minimum standard?
Well, the minimum standard is the litmus test. Even inside engineering studies, we want to know what is the minimum a household fail at, and then you build it stronger.
Right.
So that's just the litmus.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
We are not the only archipelago in the entire world.
Of course.
There are thousands. Well, there's not thousands, but there are hundreds of archipelagos.
Archipelagic nations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at Hawaii.
Yeah.
Where you've got mountains, and I mean, each of those islands are different too.
But why? They adopt the United States construction licensing.
Well, no, yeah, I used the wrong one.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But so you're right about it. They're on an island. They adopted one that's very rigorous. To be a GC in the United States is by far.
Because they have volcanoes and stuff too.
Yeah. Very rigorous. Even so much to be a licensed contractor in Canada. It's very rigorous. You're talking about testing. So the minimum standards, which I think I understand the concept, the challenge is, then that'll have to be a national thing. Like a national government almost have to get involved in it at that level, because you're talking about being able to make something available to somebody in the southern Bahamas and something in the northern Bahamas whenever someone wants to test.
But the minimum standard does not have to be a part of the licensing and the registration. Right. We are not, we are asking to be licensed contractors.
Which I believe is separate.
Which tells you in the actual act itself as to what a contractor is supposed to do.
Yeah, or is.
Or is, yes, yeah. And all the different things
and
that are attached.
How they should behave, yes. It's
correct.
Very theoretical.
So all of that.
Yeah.
So that's already done. That's already done. The standard has nothing to do, because you could actually go to a licensed the contractor somewhere else.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to do a lousy job.
Absolutely.
And somebody's going to do a great job.
Absolutely.
Even if there's a standard.
Even if there's a standard.
That's what the arbitration is for.
Yeah.
That's why it's there.
Yeah.
Courts are there for that.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that has to be put into the act. I think that's just a con as to why they don't want to do it.
Possibly.
That's another story. Another story.
In fact, not put into the act. I was told that it should come before.
Oh, Lord, love me. We've already waited 9 years. Yeah, right.
So, anyhow, we are not dismayed. That's one view on it. Personally, I think that the government still, no government, they look, and let me say it this way. The governments look at it politically. We don't look at things politically because we're thinking about contractors being better at what they do and providing service. That's why we don't look at it politically.
Right, but hang on. But we are private sector. The government needs private sector so the government can actually run. Because where does it make its money? It makes its money from us. So why are we being treated children?
Disenfranchised.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand it.
When we are actually the ones that are providing their money, their income.
Yes.
Their taxes.
And I agree. And so much more can come from it. The challenge, Debbie, I think, is this. They look at it in terms of Debbie's a voter, I'm a voter, well, not technically, but all these people are voters. Rather than looking at it as that you're advancing this group of people in a professional standard. See, I look at it separate from anything. I think about it's more important for us to think that we've moved this envelope to looking at contractors as professionals.
Correct.
And that has an intrinsic value to the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Regardless of politics.
Because if we're not treated as professionals, nobody will take us seriously.
No. And that has...
And that's why people walk away from jobs. That's why people don't pay the contractors because they figure, why should I pay this contractor?
They don't treat us as
professionals. I don't have to give him any money or her any money.
That's what JJ was saying.
Yes.
JJ's finished the work months ago. He can't get paid, but you know why? Somewhere in a room somewhere, they don't think that he's a professional enough to get paid. I just think that's what you're right about.
It's ridiculous.
So... Again, that's part of the challenge that we have in this space. And when you hear Debbie and I talk, we're echoing the calls and concerns of thousands of members
and
persons
who
are in
this
space
saying this.
Of contracting. And when you get together with us, like we get in our Mix and Mingles, and we have another one on December 12th, and we talk.
And our luncheons,
Wednesday.
And
our luncheons. And we talk. We talk about this. We all would like for persons to respect us as professionals who earn a living in this space.
Mm-hmm.
But until we are licensed to carry that badge of honor, no one else would honor us that way.
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, we got to dash our commercial break and we'll be back right after this.
Yeah.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates, as little as 5% down for first-time buyers, and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
Paint Suppliers invites you to our 2026 Color and Design Trend Show featuring Pittsburgh Paints. An exclusive evening of color, creativity, and what's next in design. Join us on the evening of November 13th for a vibrant showcase of the shades and styles that will define 2026. Tickets are free, but seats are limited. So stop by Paint Suppliers on Shirley Street in the Jolly Roger Building to pick up yours today. Or call 393-2836 to find out more. Your home can look fabulous. Let Paint Suppliers show you how.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies, from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back. So nailed it. I got you 96.9 FM.
And I am going to talk about our sponsors.
Yes,
because we, without the sponsors, as we said before,
there'll be no show.
Yeah, the BCA is a nonprofit organization, and we are doing the show on behalf of the BCA. So we're so grateful for ART Development, for Bahamas Safety Solutions, Family Guardian, Bahamas Development Bank, Sherwin-Williams, and Paint Suppliers, our newest member.
Yeah.
Yes, so we're so grateful for that. Thank you so much, yes.
And on that point, Debbie, I think it's important for persons to understand what the BCA is and what we're about. I mean, you and everyone hears us now. They know Debbie and they know Leonard. Mm-hmm. But the Bahamian Contractors Association, listen to the name, the Bahamian Contractors Association, which was formed in 1968 to advance best practices in construction and to promote training, regularization, licensing for contractors. That's why the BCA was created. And so we're still, all this time, almost 70 years later, we're still forging for licensing a contractor. So even back then, they thought it was important. And now we're continuing our work and we won't stop. The naysayers can say what they want.
Yeah.
We believe that the vast majority of contractors out there would not be harmed at all by being licensed as a professional. Let me say this. I find it interesting that professional license holders find it easy to tell the group who is aspiring to be professional license holders that they don't need a license. Isn't that weird?
I love that. I think that is just so...
you imagine us telling the doctors... No, it's okay. I'll bring up my grandson. You don't need a license.
Yeah, you don't need a license.
Just go have at it.
You don't need a license.
No.
I just want people out there to know that even though you and I are the ones that are talking, right? We're talking because we have this radio show that we can.
That's why we're talking.
That's why we even did the show, so that we could reach people. So we could, if they could know the persons that call and send emails with regard to the jobs that are being done badly and the contractors who are not getting paid, who end up losing their houses and everything else.
Terrible.
We are speaking for them. Just like you had said during the break, Leonard, Belinda Wilson, is the one talking.
For the teachers, yep.
She's not, 10,000 teachers are not there talking.
She's
no,
talking.
No, she is talking on their behalf. So
yes.
Anybody who says that it's just us talking, so why should they bother license us? That is the silliest thing I've ever heard.
I agree.
When you're representing a group of people, you're representing the entire group of people. And we're also representing the persons that would be having properties and houses built for them.
Absolutely.
Because that is also part of the act. They are protected in that act, and they are not protected now.
And I think you just skimmed over it a little too quickly.
Sorry.
Because I want
go back.
I don't think you understood the weight of what you said. Let me put this in more context. Just how when, let's say, you're a doctor, mm-hmm. or your son and daughter is a doctor,
uh-huh.
and they are a licensed professional,
right?
And they have a dual responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They are protecting their patient
mm-hmm. and the profession.
And their profession,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
The contractor
mm-hmm.
has way more protectionism in it. Let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
In contracting,
mm-hmm.
someone designed it. Our integrity is building it as a design. We're protecting the architect.
Right.
We're protecting
the engineer.
Mm-hmm. We're protecting the homeowner who wants to inhabit his house
mm-hmm.
by building it the right day.
Right.
We're in protecting
the insurance company.
We're mm-hmm. protecting mm-hmm. the realtor.
Yeah.
We're protecting also mm-hmm. the mortgage provider to make
yep.
sure their monies aren't squandered away. That's already six
right.
people. The contractor, who is not a professional, is protecting.
Because you know when whatever it is rolls down the hill, it rolls right down on the contractor. It doesn't matter any of those other persons that you've mentioned or trades that you've mentioned. It always ends up on us.
Let me ask you a question, Debbie. Because I know I could ask this question in the public and they don't know the answer to that. How many times have you ever heard an architect got sued?
Never.
Never. How many times have you heard an engineer get sued?
Never.
Quantity surveyor?
Never.
Real estate professional?
Never.
How many times have you heard a contractor?
Always.
Always. Think about that.
Always.
The one person who does not have a license is the one person everyone sues.
Yeah.
But all the other individuals with license, with indemnity insurances, don't even get sued.
Right. It's ridiculous. And all the things that we've done to make sure that this thing happens, while we've worked with Kalina and Jackie Gardner on making sure that she's given us a
yeah.
group insurance to make sure that all contractors are fairly treated,
mm-hmm.
where we actually did a sliding scale so that the persons who were earning under $75,000 a year are able to
mm-hmm.
get the indemnity insurance and the contractor's all risk insurance, and the person that's doing $500 million a year. So it's done on a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other things that we've been able to do to make sure that this actually happens, we've done that.
Yeah.
We've done the legwork. We even suggested persons like, the person who, what's his name, MacArthur, Fernander.
Fernander,
right,
yeah.
Right, who teaches,
plumber, yeah,
he's a master plumber, he teaches the plumbers, and he even gives them their certificates
when they get the license.
We suggested these people to go on this board.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do that.
No.
But we're just trying to make it the best as it can possibly be for the government, for the country, for the population of the people, mm-hmm. and for the contractors.
I couldn't have said that better, Debbie. Thank you. That's what it is. That's
mm-hmm.
what we've been doing.
Yes.
So when persons don't understand, that's the effort. We're
yes.
trying to bring protections for everyone through
mm-hmm.
professionalism.
Right.
Because one of the things that we know, now you will find some rogue individuals in any space.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But once someone carries the badge of I'm a professional, whatever, they act a little more accordingly.
Obviously.
So imagine now you're having somebody who's building your house, your business, your warehouse, and you don't want them to act like a professional? You wouldn't want that? Why would that not be something you think is great?
I would think it would be amazing to actually have that. I would love to be able to say that my contractor is a professional and
yeah.
is licensed.
And is licensed.
And is doing the job of a professional.
Yes.
And is meeting the standards of the act and doing everything that it has to be done to do the best job possible.
When I first got connected to this, almost 20 years ago now, one of the things that excited me the most was in recognizing that when you start introducing professional standards, training becomes mandatory.
Yes.
Okay, because
yes.
and we say that loosely. What I mean by this is that we make assumptions that people know how to put together an estimate properly. We make assumption that people know how to prepare a bid package. We make assumptions that people know how to engage a client. All of that training will become just normal stuff to maintain your professionalism in the space. Because you're going to be competing with everyone. So you want to be able to make sure that you're neck and neck with your competition. So training. That's, as a contractor, you're going to be training all the time to make sure you're the best representation of yourself.
But I know people that are in the insurance industry and they go off for training.
For training, all the time.
I know people that are in many different banking and they go off for training. I mean, people are in Las Vegas on a regular basis because of training. And it's not because they don't know.
No.
It's not because they're not licensed.
No.
It's because everything, you have to continue to learn. Things change, even in our industry.
Absolutely.
Things have changed. In the last 10 years, the building systems have changed. So we can't just sit back and say, oh, well, I don't want to be trained. I mean, that's the dumbest thing ever. What we want to do is we want to make sure that all of the builders out there and contractors and subcontractors out there are being trained, and we want to offer it. And we want to, if we can't offer it, we want to send you to other persons who can do it. Because again, we're not here for you and me. We're here for everybody.
Yeah. And that's a prevailing message of the contractors associations. We are here to provide value for not only for contractors but also for the general public. Because one of the benefits, and I continue to make this this point to the politician. The Act provides for protections for the homeowner as well as the contractor. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, the homeowner benefits more than us.
Yes.
And that, to me, that should be a reason why the whole Bahamian community should rally around advancing this licensing. Because they benefit. They benefit.
Mm-hmm.
They benefit.
And you and Robin and Prime Minister Davis were part and parcel of putting that document together.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like you were all involved in it. So it's not like it's something that was just thrown together.
No.
There was a reason why you wanted the persons to be protected more so than the contractor. There was a reason.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because, oh, well, we got to give this and we got to give that.
No, there
was a reason for that to happen, and
that's
why it was put in, and that's why it was never changed.
When he was
the Minister of Works, he never changed it. You guys have never changed it.
Nope.
We went back to see them again back in 2022 and 23, and there was no mention of changing anything because we knew the document that was done. Even I was not a part of it, but I read the document. I knew that was the best thing that we could possibly do for this country.
Yeah.
We'd keep lawsuits out of the courts, which is ridiculous. Arbitration would be the way it's supposed to be done. You know, it's just anyway.
Yeah. But And part of us championing the cause of our brothers and sisters in construction, our salient point is always for the advancement and promotion of best practices. You know, and Debbie, you talk about from the standpoint of a minimum standard gives you something to aim for. That's why you'll see in any engineering test, they start with the minimum standard, but you aim for higher. But why the minimum standard is important is because you don't want to go below the minimum standard. So if you establish the minimum standard, you know there's a place to go up from there.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is at BBSQ, we were doing the standard for energy efficiency and all that kind of stuff, right? And the first one of the things that they had was the R value for insulation was R5. I'm thinking R5. I said I wouldn't even use that as toilet paper.
Wow.
So I said I don't agree with that. And they said, well, what you have to do then is you actually have to research and tell us why it can be different. I wanted it to be at least 19, right?
The minimum standard.
The minimum.
Minimum. That's high for the minimum.
Really?
The highest out there right now is what, 28 or 30?
I don't know. I everything I do is like 19.
Well, what I'm saying, the highest on the scale may be only R30.
Well, yes, but hang on. We live in a country, for gosh sakes, where the weather is ridiculously hot, mm-hmm. where we have a moisture, where we have condensation, where we have mold and mildew, mm-hmm. where we need to make sure that we're insulated properly. An attic is 140 degrees. Underneath it, 70 degrees. When hot and cold get together, grade six science will tell you, you get condensation. We need R19. So I went through the international standards. I went through the Florida standards, and I did a document and sent it to them. And they actually changed it.
Well, I mean,
it had to be changed
R5
at the bottom.
Was just too low.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I would have gone minimum, which was the old international standard, was R13. What's the minimum?
Oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the minimum for many, many years. Now, because internationally, it's not for the Bahamas, internationally, mm-hmm. they changed minimum standard to R19. Even for here, you can't import an R13 system into the country, I think you can't. The minimum now is 16.
Oh, you mean for air conditioning?
Yeah, for 16. Yeah, well, you can't bring a 13 anymore.
From what I'm understanding, Florida banned 13.
Yeah.
I think you might be able to get a 14, but 16 should be the minimum. We do here. Because otherwise the system has to work too hard.
Yeah.
And especially if your attic is not sealed, that air handler has to keep kicking in and shoving that air back and forth until it reaches the temperature that you've got on the thermostat. People don't understand that. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes you don't hear the thing ever click off. But mm-hmm. if you have a 21C-er, that thing will, you hardly ever hear it. Sometimes I even check to make sure mine's working.
And is your home always nice and cool?
Always nice and cool.
You got 21C-er now.
Well, yeah, because I wasn't going to waste my money on anything less. I wanted to make sure that my energy, I want my carbon footprint to be a lot lower. And my bill.
I think the bill more than the carbon footprint.
Yes. Because it's way less money.
Yeah, but what we're talking about sale value inside air conditioning units. Mm-hmm. What we don't consider is your insulation value mm-hmm. in your roof.
Well, that's
we don't
what
consider
I'm,
it at all.
No, but that's the thing. Some people say, "Well, I don't even know any about my attic." I said, "Lift that piece of sheetrock up and then see what hits you."
Down.
Right. And people don't understand, like, the difference between 140 and 70 degrees is 70 degrees. Now think about this. Think about freezing. Freezing is at 32. Mm-hmm. Add 70 degrees to that. 102. That
boiling.
Is a difference. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you move from freezing to boiling with just adding 70.
Right. So that's the fight that your attic and your house is having mm-hmm. with itself, trying to keep that air cool.
And especially if you have the air handler sitting in the attic.
Which most people do.
And then you realize, well, this now we're talking construction deep.
But if you put isolating in there, then your attic will stay cool. at 85 degrees.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore, you don't have to fight. You won't fight it at all.
What people don't understand, too, also, if you look inside someone's older homes, you're going to always tell where the air conditioning unit was sitting, especially if it's in the attic space, because the attic is hot.
Yeah.
It has a draining pan.
Yeah.
And it's sweating.
Yeah.
And you got 140 degrees, and it's dumping all this water off the actual literal blower unit, mm-hmm. dripping, all of a sudden you get a hole in the ceiling. People don't understand all those things connected.
Yeah. And they don't realize, that our shingles mm-hmm. is tar, mm-hmm. right?
Which,
it's tar.
Which is a very,
and
very hot thing.
Thank you.
It's
so
very
what
hot.
We're doing is we're heating our houses mm-hmm. with using asphalt shingles. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, if I had shingles on my roof, I would paint it with Geico roof and it would be a white roof.
I know.
And I would keep it like that and it will reflect. Why do you think Bermuda has white
roofs?
It reflects the heat. It mm-hmm. doesn't absorb the heat.
That's why you see a lot of houses that have the, forget what it's called, the light gray and the silverish light gray shingles.
Oh, yeah, the lighter shingles you can get. Yeah.
Yeah, they're better.
Yeah.
I had a client who requested black shingles before. Black. They wanted black.
Well, that's
we don't even sell black shingles.
No, I know. They probably wanted that so that the black stuff from the planes and the cruise ships that mm-hmm. you can look on, drive past any roof and see all the black on it and the gray on it. Yeah. It's a mess.
But they wanted black shingles.
Oh, my goodness.
I tried to find it. They don't sell black. Because they say no one's going to buy a black shingle.
No.
No.
No, not at all.
Standard, as we're always coming towards the end of our show, we get calls. Always. Every time.
Wow.
It doesn't surprise
me. That's good.
It doesn't surprise
me. Let's get it before we have to
leave. Yeah. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Doing well.
We're good.
I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
I put up like 14 cores of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 16-inch belt.
Mm-hmm.
So my ceiling is very good height.
Very high. Mm-hmm. At least 10 foot.
My ceiling, I think that's a 712. I could actually stand up from my garage
mm-hmm.
and walk straight around my house.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And I'm still looking up at the ceiling.
No.
High up there. Now, I got a question. Do I still need to put insulation in there if I want to central air it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You know what? Okay. There's a company here called
Bahamas Foam.
Bahamas Foam yeah. Insulation. Mm-hmm. Call them. Right. Speak to George Pierce. He's the owner.
Right.
It is very inexpensive.
And yeah,
it's $2.37
a square foot.
That's okay. All it is. It'll cost next to nothing to do. Even if it's a retrofit, I had them come into my house, and I have tray ceilings upstairs. The sides are tray, and the top is flat. And they were able to stick the hose down through the rafters
mm-hmm.
to
right.
spray from the edge of the roof where the beam is
mm-hmm.
all
right.
the way up.
Yeah.
So
okay.
it's, yeah. And honestly, it's a simple process. They clean up after themselves. You'd never know they were
but
there.
More importantly,
so what's the name again?
Bahamas Foam Insulation.
Bahamas Foam
yeah.
Insulation.
Now, you're welcome. One of the most important things about it is you're going to get the benefit of lower energy bills.
And, oh, totally.
We don't talk about how important that is as
totally.
You own your home to have lower
totally.
Energy bills.
Your electricity bill will be reduced by 30 to 35%.
Yeah. You don't
just
want higher
by doing
energy
that.
Bills.
And if your windows are insulated, it'll go down to 60%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want, they can even give you all the documents that'll
oh, yeah.
tell you that.
Oh, yeah, they'll give you all the test data.
They'll tell you everything
tell
if,
you
you want
to,
if you want to know, they'll give it all
I
to you.
I first did a project with Bahamas Foam, George, probably about 20 years ago now.
Yeah, me too.
When they were just starting out, yeah. they were doing the live demos in the parking lots and
yeah.
stuff like that. I went to a couple of their demonstrations. That's mm-hmm. how I first got introduced to them. And again, it is amazing benefit to your home.
We brought the fellow from Bahamas that actually made Isonine,
mm-hmm.
the fellow from Canada
wow.
who actually made it. We brought him down here to do a video.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a bunch of videos. And we did one of them at Brendan Folks' house because he had it in his attic. And you walked up. And in the summer, they weren't living in the house yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you would walk into that house and all the windows and doors were closed. And you'd walk in and it was cooler inside than it was outside.
Wow.
And no air conditioning, no electricity, no nothing, just because of that.
Wow.
Just because of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
Debbie, we have come to a...
Well, I just want to mention something.
Oh, yeah, go
mention
so before
today
we sign
I was,
off for the day.
Yeah, today I did a... I was the guest speaker for NASA Underwriters, and it was called the Future of Eco-Friendly Living.
Ah.
And we talked all about energy efficiency and building and all that kind of stuff.
And zero carbon footprint
yeah,
and all the tree-hugging stuff you like.
It was great. I know. I know you wouldn't have liked it at all.
No, I like it. I just don't know who could afford it. But, you know, stages.
It is.
In stages.
You have to do everything in stages.
Yeah.
Even if you get even if you start dating and then you get engaged
the
and then you
step,
get married
yeah,
and then you have kids. Everything
so.
Is stages, you know. So I just wanted to thank them very much for inviting me. It was really fun.
Awesome.
I hope everybody enjoyed themselves.
Awesome.
And I enjoyed myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of another exciting episode. We thank all of our callers. Continue to call in. Continue mm-hmm. to be a part of this show. And we hope that you learned something you didn't know before about mm-hmm. construction and related elements. Isonine. Put some Isonine in your house before mm-hmm. next summer.
Yep.
And with that, we're out, Debbie.
We're out.
We'll see you next Thursday.
And we nailed it again.
And we nailed it
we
again.
We nailed it again.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy we invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Paint Suppliers invites you to our 2026 Color and Design Trend Show featuring Pittsburgh Paints. An exclusive evening of color, creativity, and what's next in design. Join us on the evening of November 13th for a vibrant showcase of the shades and styles that will define 2026. Tickets are free, but seats are limited. So stop by Paint Suppliers on Shirley Street in the Jolly Roger Building to pick up yours today. Or call 393-2836 to find out more. Your home can look fabulous. Let Paint Suppliers show you how.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins. You've